Our scripture reading this evening is Psalm 119, verses 1 through 32. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes! Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes, O, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee, O, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord, teach me Thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of Thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in Thy precepts and have respect unto Thy ways. I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy word. Deal bountifully with Thy servant, that I may live and keep Thy word. Open Thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not Thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto Thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from Thy commandments. Remove me from reproach and contempt, for I have kept Thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but Thy servant did meditate in Thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken Thou me according to Thy word. I have declared my ways, and Thou heardest me. Teach me Thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of Thy precepts. So shall I talk of Thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen Thou me according unto Thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me Thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto Thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of Thy commandments, and Thou shalt enlarge my heart. We read the divinely inspired scriptures that far this evening. Let's take as the text for the sermon, verse 25. We read it again. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken Thou me according to Thy word. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, three things this evening by way of introduction to the text, three things regarding Psalm 119. First of all, this psalm is a meditation on the Word of God. It's all about the Word of God. Psalm 119 is the Word of God, and Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God, its nature, its characteristics, its blessedness, its power. What does the Bible think of itself? Psalm 119 extols the word of God. Secondly, Psalm 119 is long. It is 176 verses long. That should not surprise anyone. If the subject of the psalm is the word of God, then of course, who would be surprised to learn of its length? If, for example, the Bible should devote a chapter to, let's say, a virtuous woman, no one would be surprised to discover that such a chapter is not brief, let's say 5 or 6 verses, but long, like Proverbs 31 long, 31 verses long, because there's a lot of praiseworthy glory in a virtuous woman. And so no one's surprised that Psalm 119 is so long, because it's all about the Word, and there's so much to say about the Word of God. Third, Psalm 119 is written for meditation. We read that verb more than once in our reading this evening. Meditation. It consists of 22 sections, each of them 8 verses in length, to be read and to be meditated upon. We live in an age of instantaneous gratification in which it seems that very few people are given to quiet meditation and pondering. It seems more and more that people have very short attention spans, and after a few moments, minutes, maybe seconds, the ordinary man says, if you're not giving me really exciting information with lots of vivid graphic images, I'm going to tune you out. May God give to all of us a spirit of meditation so that we can read His Word, like Psalm 119, and ponder it, and then may the Spirit cause our soul to glow with a hearty affection and religious feeling unto our God, Jehovah. So tonight we come to one verse in the chapter, is verse 25, and we will meditate on it for a little while. And whether or not you understand the meaning of the text right now, you will come to understand it, and it will resonate with you as a child of God. If it doesn't, that's alarming. And you will be able to say, my soul is so often just like the soul of the psalmist. And then the Spirit will move you to pray as the psalmist did. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. May God use the preaching of this word from this psalm to create this prayer in us tonight and through the whole of this week. So let's look at verse 25. Quicken my dust cleaving soul. We'll look at three things. First of all, the content of this prayer. Second, the offering of this prayer. And third, the source of this prayer. The text is a prayer. The whole text is the content of this prayer. And there are two halves to it. The first half is the psalmist's expression of his trouble. It's his lamentation. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. And then the second half of the text is the second half of his prayer, his desire expressed. Quicken thou me according to thy word. So let's look at the content of this prayer. First half, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Cleaveth. Cleaving is the powerful activity of love, whereby one lets go of all things in order to cling to, hold tightly to that which is precious and dear. For example, this is what a godly husband does in marriage. He lets go of things, all kinds of things. He even leaves his father and his mother and their house so that he can, with the whole of his soul and all the energies and the powers of his soul, lay a hold of his wife, love her, view her as precious and dear, and treat her well. He cleaves to her. So we read in Genesis 2, verse 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Or, for example, cleaving is what Ruth did to Naomi. When the three women were leaving Moab, Naomi and Orpah and Ruth, Orpah kissed Naomi, and then she turned around and went back into Moab, and Ruth let go. Ruth let go of Moab, her people, her family, her country, the idols of Moab, and she, well, in the words of Ruth 1, verse 14, she clave unto Naomi, "I will go with thee wherever thou goest. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy God shall be my God, and thy people shall be my people." She let go of everything in order to hold very tightly to what was precious to her, Naomi and her God. Cleaving. Now in the text, the psalmist says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust." Soul. He says, "My soul cleaveth." Sometimes in the Bible, soul refers to person. So Peter, for example, in 1 Peter 3, verse 20, tells us that 8 souls were saved by water in that ark. He means 8 persons, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. But most of the time in Scripture, soul refers to our internal spiritual life. So that man is not only made of a body, having a physical dimension, but he has a soul, a spiritual dimension, with all those spiritual movements, those thoughts, those desires, those feelings. And that's the idea here. The psalmist, when he says, "My soul cleaveth," he means not physically with his hands, he's laying a hold of dust, but he means spiritually, deep inside me, in my soul, I love, I cling to, I'll let go of everything so that I can hold on to dust. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Dust. Now, whether or not you know immediately what the psalmist is referring to by dust, is he talking about dust in a literal sense? Is he using it in a figurative sense? It doesn't matter. You immediately know this is very humiliating. This is very shameful that a man would cleave to dust. A man. God made man out of the dust. And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life so that man became a living soul. Man was created in the image of God. Man was created as the pinnacle of that whole earthly creation, exalted above all the creatures of the earth. Man, great man. And now this creature, man, cleaves to dust. The serpent, of course. God cursed the serpent, so that it crawls on its belly through the dust. But man will not simply crawl through the dust, but man, with all the powers of his soul, will cling to the dust. Man, this man, the psalmist, the believer in God's covenant in Israel, how shameful is that? Dust. By dust, the psalmist is not referring to literal physical dust, as if he likes to go out of his house into a dusty trail and roll around in the dust the way a pig rolls around in the mud and say, "I love dust. My soul cleaves to the dust." That's not what he means. Neither is dust to be understood as a shorthand expression for the grave and physical death. Many people interpret the text that way. Now it's true that dust we are, and to dust we return at death when we go down into the grave. But the psalmist here is not in a mournful state in which his soul is fixed on death, and all he can think about is death, and he's fearful of dying and going back to the dust, or he's mourning the loss of a loved one who has gone back to the dust, so that he's so consumed with thoughts of death that he says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust." That's not the idea. Rather, dust is a figure for what is lowly. You know when a man commits a great sin. You know if you should commit a great sin. You know if the child of God is so overwhelmed with all of the sins that he has committed that belong to his flesh, that he is so full of sorrow and genuine repentance. He's so full of shame. He's so humiliated that the Bible says he humbles himself even unto the dust. That's how low. Job says in Job 42, verse 6, "Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Dust is lowly. It's so, so low. The throne of God is so, so high, exalted in the highest heavens. And the firmament with its starry host is high from the point of view of dust. Man is high, and the trees are high, and the flower of the field is high, and all of the beasts are high. But dust, even take a worm. A worm is very, very lowly. But compared to dust, a worm is a billion times bigger than a little particle of dust. What is so lowly as dust? The psalmist is using dust as a figure for what is low. And then he means two things. First, when he says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust," he is referring to earthly things as opposed to heavenly things. Dust is as earthly as it gets. Earthly things now are not necessarily morally evil. Things are good. They can be abused. They can be misused. But earthly things are not necessarily evil. But the psalmist is saying, "My soul is cleaving to the earthly." Food, drink, a new robe, new sandals, my herd of cattle out in the field, a new house, my work, my opportunities, my possessions, even my earthly relationships. None of these things are evil in themselves. But my soul is willing to let go of God and all the glory of God and all the promises of God in Jesus Christ in order to lay a hold of earthly things, which in comparison to God are nothing but dust. That's what he means when he says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust." And that he refers to earthly things as dust only underscores how fleeting they are. They have no abiding substance. Dust. But secondly, dust refers to what is sinful. There's nothing lower than sin. What is more base than what is sinful? There's definitely a connection in the text between dust and death. In the Bible, there's an inescapable connection between dust and death. And the psalmist obviously has some form of death in view, because he goes on to say, "Quicken thou me, revive me, make me alive." That's implying death. The connection isn't between dust and the grave, physical death, but the connection is between dust and spiritual death, a life of sin, a life of separation from God. There's nothing lower than that. A spiritual life lived in separation from God. So that when the psalmist says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust," he means my soul is willing to let go of everything that is pure and holy in order to cleave to, cling to, hold very, very tightly to wicked thoughts, wicked attitudes, wicked words, and all kinds of sins and sinful lifestyles. Spiritual death. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. I'm ready to let go of God and His promise in Jesus for earthly things and for sin. And now he's lamenting. Can't you feel it? Can't you sense that? His, Lord God, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Second half, quicken thou me according to thy word. Quicken. To quicken is to make alive. The psalmist desires to be revived by the Holy Spirit. And since there's only one in the heavens above and in the earth beneath who can actually breathe life into the soul and revive the soul, that being God Almighty, the psalmist says, quicken thou me according to thy word. When God quickens the psalmist in his soul by the power of the Holy Spirit, two things will happen. Number one, that dust-cleaving soul will withdraw. The psalmist will withdraw that love and affection for the dust. He will turn away from his love of the earthly and from his love of what is sinful. In genuine repentance, he'll turn away. And the second half of the fruit of the Spirit's work of quickening is that now the psalmist's soul will, as it were, fly heavenward unto God, zealously pursuing God and His glory. He will say, as the psalmist did in another place of God, "Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee." He will see the God of his salvation. He will see the promised Messiah and all God's promises in Him. And his soul will fly heavenward toward God. That's what will happen when God quickens him. So he prays, "Quicken thou me according to thy word." He does not say, "by thy word," "with thy word." God does that. God quickens people by his word. If the psalmist said, "by thy word," that would refer to the word of God as the powerful means of grace, the word that is preached, also the word that is read, the word that is meditated upon. That's the powerful means that God uses to revive the fainting souls of his people. But that's not what the psalmist says. He doesn't say, "revive me, quicken me by thy word." He says, "quicken me according to thy word." Not the word as powerful means, the word here as promise. There is in God's word a promise. God's word. Now for us, God's Word is the 66 canonical books of the Old and New Testament, but the psalmist did not have the full Bible as we do. The psalmist had the Book of the Covenant, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's God's Word. If you read that Word, you will find promises. The promise of God's Word. Fundamentally, the promise is, "I will be a God unto you. I will be your God. And you shall be my people in Jesus Christ." And if you start unpacking that covenant promise, Start taking it apart and looking at all of the particulars included in that fundamental covenant promise is the promise, in being a God unto you, I will quicken you. That language was used already early in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 30, verse 20. Moses writes, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey His voice, that thou mayest cleave unto Him. For He is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. A quickening of God so that His people can cleave unto Him. God promises that in His Word. His Word to Adam and Eve in the garden. His Word to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Word to Moses and all Israel. In being your God, I will quicken you. God promises, I'll send My Son to you. My very own Son will come into your flesh and have a dust-framed body, like you have a dust-framed body. Man of man with a true humanity. He'll come into your flesh. He'll live the perfect life that you can never live with all His heart, His mind, His soul, and His strength. He will cleave unto Me moment by moment in perfect love. Cleave to Me so tightly and to My Word that He will die an accursed death on the tree of Calvary for all your sins, and to reconcile you unto Me, and to earn for you all the blessings of salvation, including the Holy Spirit of quickening, whereby that Spirit I will quicken you. And I'll take you and I'll unite you to the Savior. You will be bone of His bones and flesh of His flesh, so that as He cleaves to you, you will cleave to Him. And in Him, My Son, your Savior, you will cleave to Me in the covenant. I promise to be a God unto thee, to quicken thee, so that thou dost cleave unto Me. That's God's Word, the Word of His promise. Now the psalmist says, quicken thou me according to thy Word. That is, as thou hast promised in thy Word. Be faithful to thy Word. Give what thou hast promised in thy Word. Quicken thou me according to thy Word. And that's the text. That's the content of the psalmist's prayer. Now this prayer is being offered. The psalmist is praying. We go into his closet. We go into his heart. He folds his hands. He bows his head. He closes his eyes. And he says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy Word. That's his prayer offered to God. And he represents all believers through all the ages of God's covenant. He represents me. He represents you in the prayer that we offer unto God. So let's listen. Let's hear the offering of this prayer. We lament, do we not, that our soul so often cleaves to earthly things? The child of God says, Lord, I know there's nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and make his soul enjoy good in his labor. Ecclesiastes 2. The child of God says, Lord, I know that every creature is good. Look at this food and this drink and all these possessions. I know that every creature is good. Nothing to be refused if it be used with moderation, if it be received with thanksgiving, if it be sanctified with prayer. 1 Timothy 4. Lord, I know all these truths. I'm not an Anabaptist. I'm not Amish. I know these things. I know the truth of earthly things. But I have a problem. My problem is that my soul cleaves to these things. It cleaves to dust. I'm a fanatic. When it comes to career and work and education, I have not had personal devotions in which I commune with Thee, O God, for a couple of weeks now, because that would interfere with my pursuit of a 4.0. I don't have time to read and pray. What if I get an A-? That's how strongly my soul cleaves to the dust. The child of God says, sometimes when I'm in the worship service of God, I'm not ascribing glory to Thee, O God. I'm working. In my mind, I am. I carve out time during the worship service to work. I fade away. I can start bidding and calculating and arranging. I got a really big business meeting tomorrow, Monday. I've got a sales pitch to make. I want to hit a home run in meeting that client. And so I take time in the worship service to rehearse my sales pitch. That's how strongly I cleave to the dust. I'm obsessed with sports. I can't make it through a congregational prayer without thinking about sports. I'm addicted to video games. I know there's a legitimate place for gaming. But I do it morning, noon, and night, and I can't break away. That's how strongly I cleave to the dust. My phone, my social media accounts, my soul literally goes into withdrawals. I feel empty if I'm disconnected. I can hardly make it through a one-hour meeting, one-hour music lesson, one-hour sports practice. Hardly make it. I have to get back. What did I miss? My body? I know my body's made of dust. I know I'm going to go right back to the dust. I'm obsessed with my body, my appearance. I know I must be a good steward. God fearfully and wonderfully created me. He gave me this body. I have to take good care of my body. And I may work to make my body look nice. God gave it to me to take care of it. But I'm obsessed. I'm absolutely obsessed with my figure, my hair, my facial appearance. There are times when I look in the mirror and I literally get sick to my stomach because of how I look. That's how strongly I cleave to the dust. Lord, Lord, my soul is entangled with earthly things. I make too much of earthly things. I'm willing to let go of the heavenly, the spiritual, the glory of Thy name. God of my salvation, I'm willing to let go of Thee and all Thy promises in Christ for the earthly. Quicken Thou me according to Thy word. The promise of a living relationship, of fellowship with Thee in Jesus Christ. I don't have that. I want that. Now quicken me according to Thy word. Revive me by Thy Spirit so that I may have all these earthly things and have a right view of them, and that they have a right place in my life and in my soul. Quicken me. Sometimes our soul cleaves to earthly relationships in an unhealthy way, making more of a human than of God. Perhaps the child of God says, I'm obsessed with this woman. Oh, I want to date her. I asked her. She said, no, I do not want to date you. But I want to. And she's all I can think about. I cannot pray. I cannot read my Bible. I cannot focus in church. I cannot focus at work. I want this woman so, so badly that without her, nothing could ever make me happy. I must have her. And the friend comes along and says, brother, I think you're obsessing about this woman. Do you mean that you would let go of God and you would let go of His gospel and you would let go of Jesus Christ and you would let go of the Reformed faith? Do you mean you would let go of everything just to have this woman? I would. My soul cleaves to someone who is dust rather than the Most High God. I know it's not good. I don't have any power to change it. Lord, quicken Thou me according to Thy word, that I may love Thee and cleave to Thee and Thy Son Jesus Christ, and that my thoughts for this woman may have a proper and appropriate place in my soul. The believer might cry, my dust-cleaving soul is bringing me into depression. All I think about is the earthly. Then all I think about are my troubles. And then all I think about is how I have no strength in these troubles. And it's this vicious cycle. My troubles, but I don't have any strength to endure them. And my troubles, and I don't have any strength. So my thoughts keep sinking lower and lower into a pit of darkness. I have no power to reach through the darkness heavenward unto God and to the comfort of the gospel. God, my Savior. God, my friend. God, my rock. God, my good. I've let go of Thee. And when I pray, it is nothing but empty words that can never penetrate through the darkness and ascend into heaven. I'm sinking deeper and deeper. My life is all darkness. All I think about is the earthly and my troubles and my lack of strength. Quicken Thou me according to Thy word, which promises a relationship with Thee, whereby I trust in Thee, and I see Thee, and I love Thee, and I'm consecrated unto Thee, and I hope in Thee. Quicken me according to Thy word. Breathe into my soul again the breath of life. But we not only lament that our soul is cleaving to that which is earthly, but to that which is sinful. And so we offer this prayer. How could the believer's soul still be so attracted to sin? You would think that once the Holy Spirit comes and he's been regenerated, that the believer's soul would fly effortlessly like an eagle unto God high in the heavens, that he would never hesitate, that he would never be tempted to look back like Lot's wife looked back at Sodom, that he'd set his hand to the plow in the calling wherein God gave him, and he'd never look back. He'd always press forward. He'd find all of his joy and satisfaction in God. You would think that. And yet our souls are still so willing to let go of God, to let go of His good commandments, to cleave unto sin, to love sin, to love the pleasure of sin, to love to have adulterous thoughts, to relish those, to love to have covetous thoughts, to love to think about the brother and just withdraw and sit back and mull over in spite ways to get him back in revenge. And love to do that. Love to have bitter, angry, hateful thoughts. The soul still so full of sin. savoring the things of man and not the things of God. Right during the middle of a prayer, a sincere prayer, a personal prayer, a prayer offered after just having meditated upon the Holy Scriptures. Right in the middle of prayer, as the believer is ascending into the very throne room of God and beholds his God face to face, in the face of Jesus, right there, at that moment, in a blink of the eye, now to think about the face of his neighbor's wife and lust while he's in God's throne room. Right before the face of God in prayer, all of a sudden to think about the face of his brother and what he's done, and now thoughts of revenge and how he can get him back as he's praying. Lord, my soul. All of a sudden, I'm like a serpent on his belly crawling through the dust. Lord, my soul cleaves to the dust, to what is sinful, how horrible. So we pray, we offer up this prayer. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Don't you pray that? Don't you feel that? The lamentation of the psalmist and then his desire for divine quickening. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Where does this prayer come from? What is its source? Isn't it astonishing? How can he pray? You would think that the psalmist is an unbeliever outside of God's covenant. After all, in his soul, not his body. In his soul, he says, he cleaves to the dust. If his soul is so obsessed with the world, if he clings so tightly with his soul to that which is fleeting and earthly, if he's so full of love for sin in his soul, if his soul is willing to let go of God and his gospel in Christ, is he a believer? How could he be a believer? He must be a spiritually dead, totally depraved, unregenerate unbeliever who's wholly corrupt and incapable of doing any good. He must be spiritually dead if his soul cleaves to the dust. And yet he prays. Where does this prayer come from? Totally depraved, unregenerate unbelievers cannot and do not pray. They hate God. They cleave to the dust with their souls in the absolute sense of the word. They don't pray. How can the psalmist turn heavenward and pray? How does he hate the fact that he's a dust cleaver? How does he yearn for quickening? What is the source of this prayer? The only explanation is the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit in his heart. He has a heart. He has what Scripture calls a heart deep, deep down at the very core of his being. You take the whole man as he is body and soul with his physical and spiritual dimensions. You take the whole man and you go all the way behind him, deep, deep down into the deepest recesses of his being, and there you will find what Scripture calls his heart. And Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." All the issues that come out through body and soul have to be traced all the way back to the heart. The psalmist has a heart. And while sin and death occupy the heart of the totally depraved, unregenerate sinner, the Holy Spirit, like a mighty king seated upon a throne, occupies the heart of the elect child of God who has been regenerated by that Spirit. That Spirit dwells in that heart. That Spirit will never leave that heart. That Spirit abides in that heart forever. God promised that Spirit, the God who cannot lie. And God gave that Spirit. And God never takes that Spirit away. Jesus Christ died to give to His people that Spirit. The psalmist has that Holy Spirit in his heart, having been regenerated by that Holy Spirit. So when the psalmist feels so worldly because he's so attracted to what is earthly and what is sinful, he prays unto God, "Revive me by thy Spirit. Quicken me by thy Spirit." Of course God will quicken him by his Spirit. That Spirit is already in him. That Spirit was given to him in regeneration. And though there may be a time when there is a withdrawal of the gracious operations of the Spirit, that Spirit's always there. That Spirit never left. By the power of the Spirit, the psalmist prays, "Quicken me." He's already being quickened. He's praying by the power of the Spirit. The Spirit is the source of that prayer. So no matter how the soul cleaves to the dust, and it does, our souls cleave to the dust, we are not yet perfect. We have our soul that is so often a dust cleaver because this flesh, this totally depraved flesh that cleaves to us, the old man of sin. So there's so much sin yet in our souls. It's frightening. Isn't it? It's frightening how much sin there yet is in us. No matter how much our souls cleave to the dust, God is greater than us, greater than our soul, and greater than sin. And God has promised in His Word, "I'll be a God unto you for Jesus' sake, and I'll give you my Holy Spirit and quicken you so that you cleave unto me." And He does. By His Spirit, we cry out in prayer, "Oh, Lord, my soul is cleaving to the dust. Quicken Thou me according to Thy Word." And the Spirit quickens us, revives us. We let go, and turn unto and love the Lord our God. For Jesus' sake, God hears and answers this prayer. He quickens us. He does. And you know that too. He does. He quickens us. And all the way until that day when we die, and our old man of sin is abolished in the grave, when, as it were, our soul is set free like a bird from all this cleaving depravity, and set free and taken by God into glory and purified. And there in glory, we will never again cleave to the earthly and to what is sinful, but into all eternity with our soul. We will cleave unto the Lord our God, the God of the covenant, as we see Him, behold Him in the face of Jesus Christ, my God, forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, how weak, frail and sinful we are as creatures of the dust, look upon us in thy mercy, fulfill thy covenant promise, and lift us up and revive us. Rise, help, and redeem us, for it is in thy mercy that we trust. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's respond with 123, a prayer, another familiar number. Stanza 3, second line, our soul is bowed down, yea, we cleave to the dust. Rise, help, and redeem us, thy mercy we trust. Let's sing all three of 123.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with you forever. Amen.